Good morning to all of you. My name is Jason Hallbaker. I'll look at your faces. Many of you I know. I think there's several that I don't know. But yes, I would like to share my testimony. I desire to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. One verse that is really precious to me is Acts 4:12. There is none other name given under heaven by which man may be saved. That is my only hope. It is not a hopeless hope, it is a living hope. And I rejoice in that. I was encouraged to give a little bit of overview of the church I came from so that you might understand what I was delivered from. First of all, there's many people in the church that I appreciate. And, I think there's many brothers there. The church is often referred to as Hoover Mennonites or Scottsville Mennonites, Old Order Mennonites. They would drive horse and buggies. I think it was started in the 1940s in Barry Zelius. Two of their main points were having the correct lineage, and if you, the more conservative you are, the more pleasing you are to God. The thing of true lineage, one of the ministers felt that he came from a church that had the correct lineage, and therefore by baptizing anyone, he could give them the correct lineage coming directly from the apostles. That minister was excommunicated and shunned eventually, and the idea became, the idea led to the one true church theory, but that was eventually kind of dropped. It is socially unacceptable. And there were a lot of people that realized that we cannot put God in a box and say that we're the only true people. And yet, that idea is somewhat alive in the church. It wouldn't be professed much. But I grew up under that, thinking that we are the people. At a young age, I had desires for things that the church didn't allow, something say, as simple as just a bicycle. And I used to think, maybe I'd go to church so I could a different church so I could have a bicycle, but I just didn't dare it because I thought I'd probably go to hell for that. The first and the second generation of the church understood that they were living a very conservative life to please God, but the third generation, which is me and my friends, were not as clear on that. I did not feel the need to establish convictions because the church had its lines, and so therefore I did not need convictions, and that is a concern of mine if people get to that point. I was, like I said, raised in this, taught in this. I had very kind and loving parents. They did the best for me that they knew, and even though they aren't here, I'd just like to thank them for being the parents they were. They taught me a lot of good. One thing that my dad was really strong on was that you have to build your own convictions and then live by them. And I eventually accepted that and tried to do that, even though I failed much. I would say that my parents were some of the more sincere people in the group. At about age 12, I had my first experience with God, I guess. One afternoon, I just began feeling very close to God, and I prayed and just talked with the Lord. But I looked at it as kind of a silly thing. I didn't hope anybody would find out, or didn't want to tell anybody, and I didn't know what to do with it, so I just let it go again. And probably around age 15 or 16, I turned rebellious and got into things that were forbidden by the church. Then a year or a while later, there was a young boy there that got instantly killed in an explosion. And that really scared me, and I got rid of things that I wasn't supposed to have and tried to clean up my life, but of course I didn't feel any different. And life went on. It was just a daily grind of trying to resist temptation. But I was in my own strength, and it was not possible to do that. There were a lot of things that I struggled with, such as lust and sometimes pornography, and also just disobedience and rebellion to my parents. It seemed like even though I wanted to do better, I just could not. Just about every time I failed. And so life went on. I think it was around age 18 or so, I remember one day going to a store and buying some things that I wasn't supposed to have, and I had to go several miles to do this, and it rained really hard that morning. Of course, I went with the horse and the buggy, and on the way back, I went over a low bridge, and the water was very high. It was dangerously high. It was not safe to go over. But I knew if I went around the long way, it would be noticed that I was away too long. And, well, that couldn't be, so I decided to cross over, and praise God, I made it safely. But as I reflected on that, I was very convinced that God spared my life through that high water because He had a purpose for me and that I was to live for Him, and which I didn't really know what to do with that except just be a better Mennonite. And the next few years are kind of blurry. I tried to live for God. I was living by a system of being good enough for God, and it was a depressing system because I could never attain it. There were times that I did do the things that I knew was right, but even that didn't bring peace. And so life moved on. I was chained to my sinful habits. I was really seeking God. And I often heard messages on being, not clear messages on being born again, but on giving up and living for Christ. And I desperately wanted to do that, but I didn't know how to. I had kind parents. I could have gone to them and asked them, but unfortunately, we didn't have much of a relationship. So I didn't really consider that as an option. But I sought God intensely. I was really convicted of my sins, and I would pray to Him for hours on end, and sometimes gain a measure of peace, and I thought this was it, and then I would fail again, and I knew I would. My relationship with God didn't go deep; it didn't go all the way, but I was ignorant how to further it. I read the Bible a lot, and I thought I could clearly see some areas where the church was doing things that were not right, and for that, I said for that reason, but it was probably because I wanted more freedom, I decided to go to another church. And I kept on buying things that I wasn't supposed to have, and yet I was looked up to as somewhat of a spiritual young man because I did read the Bible a lot and was somewhat acquainted with it. I was putting up a false front, living in hypocrisy. And then it got to the point where things would start coming out, and I used maybe not outright lies to cover up a deceit, which was no better. And that is when the Spirit really convicted me of my sins. I think I fought conviction for several days. Blocked it out of my mind, but then one Sunday morning in church, the Holy Spirit really convicted me in a way that I've never been convicted before. I just kind of, the surroundings faded kind of, and it was just between me and God, and I really, really fought hard and thought I didn't want to do this, to commit my life fully to God. I wanted to do that, but the part that I didn't want to do was to go to my parents and confess that I had betrayed their trust, and I had been rebellious, because I knew that would would give me a very bad reputation. I didn't want to do that. But praise God, the Spirit kept working, and in the end I realized that I wanted peace with God more than anything else, even at any cost. So I gave up, and I was born again. I just I had a peace then that I never had before. And the next day I made things right with my parents and told them who I was and what I was into. And of course they were quite shocked, understandably. But I'd just like to thank God for redeeming me, because I was a sinner and He saved me. After I was born again, I didn't have a lot of fellowship with anybody, or probably nobody. I was kind of standing alone, and when I was born again, my habits of sin that I was chained to were broken, which I praise God for that, because I was never able to overcome them before, and then they were broken for me. But several times they did backslide, but I repented and confessed my sins to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked Him to wash it away with His blood, which He has done, and I'm so thankful for that. So I did make mistakes after I was born again, but I will go forward covered by the blood, and it's just my desire to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:2 is a verse that is precious to me. It says, "For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That is my view. And I'm not finished. I'm not a finished product. I'm still growing in the Lord Jesus Christ and rejoice to do so. Philippians 3:13 is something that I think really describes my feelings. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those which are before." That is the way I find myself. So in capping up, I confess that I've been born again, that I have my sins washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ, and I just desire to go forward in that and request baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to show the two kingdoms who I have committed myself to. So I want to thank you all for being my friends and praying for me, and God bless you all.